Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Everton, the official complete record. It's out now, 1878 to 2016, and I don't think there's much that's missing. In fact, is there anything missing in terms of Everton's history? Let's find out from Steve Johnson, who a work of love, a passion of life for him. Morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, how are you?
Right, well, that first question. Has anyone highlighted anything that's missing out of this book? Because it has stats on appearances, goals, games, everything from when the club started to right now. Has anyone highlighted anything that's missing, or is it the complete record?
Well, that's a difficult one to answer. It's the official complete record. Yeah, it's got everything in there that you'd ever want to know about stats from an Everton point of view. Not just the stats, but the story of the club over the period from its formation in 1878. But the nature of statistics, there's always something new around the corner. Mm. Well, this is the second edition of the book, so it's built upon what existed in the first edition as well.
Well, the nature of statistics is they're there to be debated. Now, I don't know whether you'd seen the giant picture of Graham Sharp outside Goodison Park, and he came into the building last week and had a little bit of a face on, and he said, "They've got my goals tally wrong." So straight away, I opened up your book, and he was heartened to find that you had his goals tally right within your book. But how hard is it, and how much work goes into it by yourself in sort of putting a stat down and then double-checking it and making sure it's 150% accurate?
Oh, it's something that never ends. You're always conscious of the fact that you're dealing with stats from a long time ago when you're dealing with a football club like Everton. So in the early years, of course, there was lots of scope for error with newspapers reporting on matches, not really knowing who some of the players were, not having the means to debate what went on in a game. And goal scoring is obviously a key thing in a football match, and you would think that as the years progress, that would become easier, but Graham Sharp example that you gave there shows that it's not quite the case. He scored a goal away at Luton. It is the point in case here in 1986, I think it was, which was quite clearly a Graham Sharp goal. It was recorded by everybody as a Luton defender's own goal, and no one quite knows why that would be the case, but hopefully I've put that right now and Graham can be a bit happier about that.
I think you have put it right. He was far more comforted. There's a great forward by Bob Latchford in here. Talks about when he first signed for Everton in 1974 and the tradition of number nines. When you're talking to Bob about the work you've done, the research you've done, what was it that really struck him?
Well, Bob, who people would be glad to hear, is one of the nicest men you could ever meet, as well as being an Everton legend, of course, was, at the time that he joined the club, the latest in the long line of famous number nines. Everyone can remember names like Dixie Dean and Tommy Lawton, but lots of others as well. And in fact, there's a whole new section in the book about number nines that list all of the players who either worn that number for Everton in the days that numbers were worn, or have had the squad number in the more recent Premier League era. So yeah, there's a lot of information about lots of things, including number nines at Everton.
And there's that great quote as well. He said, "I met Dixie Dean in April 1978 when I scored my famous 30 league goals, and Dixie said, 'Just remember, you're only half as good as me.'" What a great comment.
Great comment, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
You know, obviously things have changed in the past 10 years and changed in journalism and everything we do in life, even, say, people who are researching at university. It used to be libraries, didn't it, are much tougher to access sort of statistics. You've got this whole sort of internet environment, this world at your fingertips now to sort of chase everything up. Has it made writing this book easier?
Yeah, of course, it makes it a lot easier with the rise of the internet, but you do have to have one eye on the truthfulness or the correctness of what you're reading. You can't just take things at face value. You do have to check and double check and triple check everything. But yes, certainly it's much easier now to access newspaper archives, for instance, online, rather than having to traipse around libraries as people would have done in the past. Mm. So yeah, we are in an age that gives more information, but that's a double-edged sword because there's a lot of incorrect information out there on the internet.
Well, you've got, I mean, obviously you've got the team lineups from the initial entrance by Everton in what night? 1879, 1880? You've even got team lineups. Is there anything new you've unearthed there from the earlier years?
Well, there's a few matches that didn't seem to be known about from the very early pre-league era when Everton were playing what were in effect friendly matches and the odd local cup game. And of course, sometimes if a match was hastily organised away in Bolton on a Wednesday night in 1880-something, it may not have got the coverage that it would have got today. So there's one or two matches that have been that I've found that have been added to. And just lots and lots of research trying to get more information about the lineups from that era, the scorers, and of course the holy grail for anyone to do with Everton who looks into the history of the club would be to find out more information about the club before it became Everton, when it was the Domingo's football club. And that most of that information is just simply not available anymore, or probably wasn't ever recorded at the time. We know the date of one particular match, but that's about it at the moment. But that's the kind of thing that keeps me going, the fact that one day I might open up a newspaper in a library somewhere and find out that information.
If anyone can find it, you can find it, Steve. What's your favourite stat in the book or fact, or what is it that really jumps out at you with this?
What I love is I love the whole Dixie Dean era personally. And the thing that I think is great is, I think it was the 1931-32 season when Everton won the league. We had seven home league games in a row at Goodison from October onwards, when we scored 9-8-7, 9-5-5-4, and Dixie got 21 goals in those seven games. I think that's fabulous. I'm 0 for a run like that at the moment.
21, absolutely brilliant, is it? That might turn things around if it could happen now. Look, it's bang up to date because it goes to 2015-2016, so you've got stuff in there about Ross Barkley, the chance on Ross, you talk about Seamus Coleman from the 2014-2015 season as well. So you've made sure that you've researched just as much sort of in this present day.
Oh, yes, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, it's the second edition of the book. The first edition came out in 2010, so six additional seasons to put together for this book. And you would think in some ways that would be a lot easier, but we kind of get so heads up in looking at the dim and distant past that you almost forget what happened 3 or 4 years ago. So it was good to be able to remind myself of the Roberto Martinez journey, which most of those six additional years covered, and the fact that we've moved on. I think Jack Rodwell was going to be the future of Everton when the first edition came out, and that didn't quite work out.
Gosh, you might be writing a few more editions of these for years to come. It'll certainly get updated and updated. It's great to go through just all the players that have actually featured as well. And of course, 80% of them, you've never heard of them. They're older names, aren't they?
Yes, they are, but that's the nature of life, isn't it? We live in the moment and we forget things very quickly. So if we were living in 1931, we'd know every Everton player, not just Dixie D. And time moves on and you forget about them. And that's the beauty of a book like this, is that it brings it all back together again. And as it says on the lid, it's a complete record, so it has all of the players in there.
I can't believe our very own Eden Snowden just got one Premier League goal, 52 appearances, 49 starts. Just one goal to his name. We're going to have to bring that up with him.
Hopefully he wasn't on a goal bonus.
Right, there's loads more we can talk about on this. I'm sure at some time we'll get you in the studio and talk in a bit more depth about Everton's history. But it's a cracking book. Everton, the official complete record by Steve Johnson. And it's out perfectly timed for Christmas, isn't it? So the Everton fans can sort of delve into this on Christmas Day, Steve. That would be the perfect stocking filler, wouldn't it?
It would. And can I plug the fact that Bob Letcher and I are doing some book signings this coming Saturday?
Of course, go on.
We're at Pritchard's in Crosby on Saturday at 11, Broadhurst in Southport on Saturday at 1, and we're in Waterstones in Ormskirk at 3 p.m. on Saturday. And before the big game against Manchester United on Sunday, we'll be at St Luke's in the corner there of the ground at Goodison Park from 2 till 4 o'clock.
Great. They can offer you a bit of positivity, Steve and Bob, just before the game gets going. Put a smile on your face. Steve, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.
That's Steve Johnson, author of Everton, the official complete record. This is Radio City Talk.
Steve Hoddesall's kickoff.
This is Radio City Talk.